Blog Talk Radio.
Well, anyway, yeah, man, and
did he die?
No. As a matter of fact, like I said,
so what the dude shooting for was like, dude's just crazy. They was getting into a fight, or
no, they even stopped him. They shot drive-by style and shot inside the window of the place.
Okay, oh, wow.
So And the funny part is trying to figure out what window could they have shot it out.
Only window that's there is the door. Is the door? Because you know,
yeah, because there's no windows around the building.
No, it's not, except for the door. The back door is glass. I'm gonna tell you what's so crazy.
Digital Guard, our sponsor, put the cameras in at Ebony and Ivory. I was surprised we didn't get the call to go full video.
You know why? Maybe they didn't take it. Maybe it was on.
Maybe because they called.
Because see, Walt, you know, Walt
passed away.
See, he is so
trippy.
Uh oh, that's the first problem.
I'm not making light of it, but yeah, that
just really hit me because I got a call and somebody told me about it. But at any rate, with that being said, this violence in our community is just escalating. And you know what though? Check this out. Even though we had those 8 shootings here in Indianapolis. Bernstein, do you know that it still has not reached, in fact, it's less at this point of the year than it was last year.
That's good.
Yeah, by about 20. But it still doesn't change the fact, man, that our violence, man, is getting just ridiculous.
We live in America. Violence is never going to go away in America.
How dare you? Don't talk about my great and wonderful country like that. Did you hear this, man? Did you hear him? Yeah, you're right about that, dumbass. You know, check this out. I got news break. Check this out, man. They kicked me off of Facebook for another 6 days. I couldn't believe it. But wait a minute. I hadn't said anything. I haven't been allowed to say anything. I mean, for the same reason. But I'm being nice. For the same thing that I did the last time. Well, I suppose it said 21 days at first, but now it's past 21 days, so they gave me a parole or something. Oh, yeah, it was the truth. I'm not going to deny what I said was the truth, because it was. I mean, and I can say it on this network. I don't think Facebook can do anything about it, can they? Hello, Bernstein? Facebook can't do anything about me saying it here.
Yeah, no.
Check this out. Here's what happened. If you remember that there was a young senator, congressman from North Carolina, who probably one of the youngest congressmen in the House. But what he basically said was, I didn't make up the news, but what he basically said was that he said that there was a culture within Congress that is a party atmosphere, and some of it involving women and drugs. That's what he said. And he also said, I know, I've been there. I didn't make this up. Okay, so I'm sitting there thinking, wow. And he's Republican. I'm like, wow. He dropped a bomb on the GOP is what I said. I said, he dropped the bomb by making a statement like that on the GOP that really, I would think, is going to harm them a bit. Okay, it can be made an election issue. I thought it was interesting that the GOP rubbed right across it. I mean, it's talked about for 2 days. You don't hear nothing about it. But at any rate, this is what I put down on Facebook. And they kicked me out, put me in Facebook prison or jail or wherever they do with people. So all I did was make that statement. And, yeah, it was the truth. I'm sure they were completely caught off guard. But I didn't say maliciously. I understand why they took the approach on Facebook that they do. I truly understand, because in the culture that we're living in now, we need to be overcautious. We really do. I mean, people look at me like I'm an idiot or something. But, you know, when you're confronted with, it's just like the virus that we've been fighting, which seems like it's an endless situation, Bernstein. It's the same thing. I mean, you know, certain things. You have to make a choice, either decide to fight it head on or try to dance around it. In most situations, when we as Americans dance around things we know we have to be confronted with, and we mess up and we start dancing. So that's what I want to hear about right now. It's just and see, when you make statements, Bernstein, like ignorant, then people get offended. Okay.
Yeah.
But we are being quite ignorant. There's nobody in a better shape to correct the ills of our community than we are. And it starts economically, believe it or not. And with economic, you have to have the media in order to spread the word about how to increase economics.
So what do you feel about censorship? Because what's happening to everybody on Facebook is censorship, but it's supposed to be freedom of speech.
Really? How do I feel about it? Well, you know, I toy with that issue a lot, man, about the freedom of speech issue, and I'll tell you why. Just like carrying guns. First of all, you don't have the freedom to run into a theater and scream fire where there's no fire, okay?
Correct.
Now, there are some people out here who sincerely believe in the warped brain that that's okay because it's protected by freedom of speech, okay? But the truth of the matter is, that's a complicated way of looking, man. It really is. That makes no sense. One has nothing to do with the other. So my attitude to this is, if my rhetoric or what I have to say causes harm on anybody, sorry about your luck. Because the truth of the matter is, that is freedom of speech. As long as I'm not, you know, telling you stupid stuff like there's a fire out there and there isn't.
Right.
I mean, common sense sometimes. Well,
so the thing is that I'll be trying to explain to our people is, like, you crying and complaining, not you, I'm just talking about people talking about Facebook and Instagram shadow bans them, but guess what? When you own the sandbox, you can do what you want.
That's very true.
If you don't like what Facebook is doing to you, Instagram doing to you, find another medium or start your own.
Yeah. Well, but you know what, though? The whole interesting thing about it is, when you do that, especially if you're trying to develop something your own and you don't go through the normal channels, it takes you a lot longer to get there. And generally when that happens, then somebody will take somebody that they can utilize to do certain things and get it done quicker. So, I mean, cooperation is necessary.
Yeah.
It's not imperative, but it's necessary. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense because you have to cooperate with the rules. So if you don't like the rules that Instagram and Facebook have,
then make your own rules.
Then make your own, but get off their platform because that's their rule.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm not very upset about why they do. I mean, I question why they do what they did. No, I'm not very upset about it because I understand the reasoning behind it. But I still think that when you take stuff like that off platform, and it's your platform, but you allow some of the morally disgusting things I've ever seen in my life on your platform, that gives me great concern, because the whole reason for doing it is that it is offensive and not morally or politically correct, I guess, for lack of better words. So if that's true, then what's the reason of changing the rules? Depending on, I have no idea, to be honest with you, birthday, why they change the rules. Do you?
I'm sorry. What was that?
Oh, you're making your big
change what rule?
Well, I mean, it just seems like this whole social media thing changes the rules. It went,
oh, I know they changed the rules.
Okay.
Because they bringing in corporate dollars now and got to, you know, appease your, you know, corporate owners now,
exactly.
You know, they're on commercial, like Disney World or Coca. Not saying that they're the most moral examples, but you can't be on there talking about things that's against their vision for their.
You bring up your interesting subject. Go ahead and do your bingo right quick, because I got to ask you a question. I mean, while you're making it, I'll ask a question. Here's the question. So your thinking is that the way to do what you need to do is, A, control the platform. Am I correct?
Yes.
Secondly,
it's like this.
If you're paying for something, then you have a little bit more leverage. But if you're on somebody's platform and you're on there for free, you can't just be on there doing the same what you want because you're not paying no money.
Right.
So they're going to listen to you.
Now, so understand what he's saying, people, okay? Now, the other thing is this. Once you get on your own platform, which makes you, quote, independent, unquote.
To some extent, yes.
Then how do you get that platform or what you're doing out to other people?
The masses?
Mm-hmm.
Just like they say, how do you eat an elephant?
Oh,
one bite at a time. So you have to grow
you
it organic.
Man.
Oh, hell yeah.
No,
I eat elephant tusk every morning. I'm saying,
no, no,
so
this,
it's just like you just have to build it organically. Just like we're doing here at Yizer. It's like, you know, you have to, in word of mouth, you know, one person going to hear, oh, man, I have to see them be controversial. So and they tell another person. And then at the same time, we have to go out like we're doing now. I'm about to start going out, getting sponsors and going out to the public, you know what I'm saying? Just grow it organically.
Right.
That's the best way.
So,
I in a rush.
So in this media, we'll finish making our pay-goes, and then we can get back to this social media thing. So we're going to take a pause for the cause. You're on controversy. We're going to deal with some issues today that's going to trip you out, especially the issue of a movie that Bernstein told me about. So we're going to really discuss that and some minor sports things that you really need to know. Be right back at you, okay?
brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right on. Simply cause our hair is long.
Oh, you know we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me for brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on.
We're coming back to controversy on a Super Bad Monday. Just talking about a couple of issues for a second. Sorry, one of those mornings. You know, this is going to be interesting right now. I'm not really flipping the script, but I want to get back to this violent thing because it's ever so important. It really is. I, you know, if 8 people were shot, okay, and within 48 hours, look at how many people that is affected. Not just what we know on the news, but people, period, in our community. I mean, for what? What is it going to solve that you know, that we can do such things and that's supposed to be the measure of who we are and what we are? Are you serious? Come on now. That makes no sense. No whatsoever. We've got to start developing the ability to correct ourselves by ourselves. Not that we reject help. Certainly, it's a problem that's going to take more than just us. But what's more important is we have to lead the charge. We have to take the responsibility of doing what is necessary to educate our children, to get them to understand that this is no game. This is not like pinball. This is the game of life. And it is also what is more than important to our survival. So we're going to leave that alone right now because now Bernstein's back. He's got me excited about something. Hey, man. We got to do some commercials too. Well, let's start this conversation first. Of the movie that you saw, and you know, what's interesting about it is I saw the trailers.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen the movie, but I guess you saw the movie.
Oh, my God. Best movie ever.
Yeah, let's talk about this movie.
All respect go out to King Richard, the father of Venus and Serena, but he also had multiple other children, and he also had five daughters by Venus and Serena's mom. So him and his wife, they have five daughters, but he has other daughters. So, but
maybe whoa. Let me get this straight. He got two daughters from
five daughters. Yes,
same mother.
Same mother. But he also has other children by other women that I didn't know about until you see the movie.
Oh boy. Okay.
But he was so dynamic. That man was like, everything that happened with Venus and Serena, he predicted it, created it, and manifested it. All of it. Controlled everything. I know this might be a spoiler, but y'all need to see the movie. I don't care if you'll hear what I'm saying. You have to, the movie. He controlled all the corporate dollars. He didn't let, he wasn't, and he taught each one of his daughters how to play a role in their career. So it was a completely family business. With all the daughters, everybody had a role to play in Venus and Serena's
career.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's fire. It's the best movie I've ever seen.
So the other sisters, who you don't hear about,
right,
were part of this organization that their father built.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Him, his wife, and their five daughters.
The new Jackson's only in reverse, huh?
Pretty much.
That's incredible. I can't say there was a demise. Maybe we should not even say that, right?
What? Demise what?
At the end of this movie.
Well, okay.
I mean,
this movie was about Venus. It's about Venus and Serena, but a lot of people don't realize that Venus was the first to get accepted to everybody, and then
right.
Serena came 9 months later.
Right.
The way that they made the movie where it ended, where Venus elevated, and then part two is going to be more about Serena.
Does it tell you at the end of the movie or something?
You could just tell, and then they released it. You could just tell how the movie was produced. So, I mean, but this first part was all about the father, the struggles that he went through, how he was a businessman where he negotiated all their contracts. Then he taught them to negotiate their contracts at 14 years old.
What was he in before he got involved with the sports thing with the?
He was a security guard from Compton, California.
Really?
He's from Louisiana, moved to Compton, California. He was just a security guard. Never played tennis. Didn't know nothing about tennis. He said he just chose tennis because it was like one of the most lucrative sports. And he also said it wasn't no black people. It was that simple. It was just like,
why not?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. Why not him?
Right. And that's why he picked tennis. Like, never played tennis.
Do you think in things you do now, do you think that the portrayal, of their father, whether negative or positive, is pretty accurate in the movie?
I think in the movie, that's why I was surprised, like, who wrote this movie? Because in the movie, I think it was more accurate than how the media treats him in real life. They did not make this man, you know, a lot of movies, especially when they're making a movie about black men, there's always a white savior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even like that movie, 12 Years, which is a horrible, worst movie ever, but there's always a white savior, or make him seem so passive, or they make him seem like a tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
None of that.
Really?
Whoever wrote this movie, and I know Will Smith wrote it, but I know he's one of the producers, they gave this man 100%, his integrity was intact, his demeanor was intact. There was not one scene in the movie where he had to bow down to anybody, like all the struggles. He always had every wall that they ran into, he had a solution for it.
Mm.
And then he'd take right. those lessons, then he would take those lessons, teach it to his five daughters. And then the wife was right there with him.
That's incredible.
The wife, when she needed to pull his coattail, she pulled his coattail. When he couldn't do it, the wife did it.
Wow. So in other words, this movie basically placing him in a very positive light.
Much positive light.
And your impression about him prior to that.
And I'm so glad, not to cut you off, but I'm so glad they made it while he was still alive.
Right. Because let me tell you something. I knew very little about him or his wife. All I knew was these two women. I didn't even know about the other children. These two women emerged and took the tennis nation world by storm. But for some reason in my mind, and I don't recall actually reading such, but for some reason in my mind, I had a dark picture of their father.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know why. I mean,
like a Joe Jackson dark? Like,
yeah.
Really?
Really? No kidding. Obviously, I was wrong, but
yeah.
But really,
but they did try to paint him like that in the media, though. And I remember some of the, interviews, because he always told them, that "I'm not gonna let tennis kill my daughters. So you're not gonna hear no daughter. You're not gonna hear stories about my daughters being strung out on drugs or being celebrity whores and shit like that." He said, "I will pull them out or anything happens like that with his daughters."
Really?
Yeah. Actually, Venus and Serena, there's different categories of pro tennis. So, you got, just like boxing, you got to go through the Golden Gloves,
right,
before you go to professional.
Right.
Well, in tennis, you have to go through the junior level.
Right.
And you go from juniors to a professional.
Right.
Well, you can make multi-millions of dollars in the juniors, whatever. Well, Serena and Venus was like the number one and number two in junior tennis before the world knew who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And they was getting offers for millions and millions of dollars.
That's from advertising dollars, right?
Advertising dollars, sponsorship dollars, endorsements,
right,
all that stuff.
Right.
Agents.
Right.
And he said they will not play no more tournaments in junior until they graduate from high school.
Who did that?
The father. He shut it down.
Really?
Shut it down. For 3 years. He said, no, they need to go. I need to have them in school and everything, but they're going to practice every single day preparing for tournaments. But they was like, but this is there's millions of dollars you're walking away from. So you know how they tell
right.
you, if you don't take advantage, the window's going to close. He's like, I'm not worried about that window. So he literally told the whole tennis industry, those two will not compete for the next 3 years.
Wow.
But they will practice every single day. That's so good. She had topped out. She had topped out with the training. She was that good.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, and she was 14 years old. And then they was like, sit down with him and like, look, you have to let her play in this tournament. You have to let her play. You have to let her go pro at 14. It was no choice because she had tapped out. And he let her play in the tournament. And her very first set was for $12 million.
Do you think, how to put this, obviously in popularity, Serena, the younger sister, has grabbed that.
Yes. That was his plan.
That's my
it was all planned. It was all planned. He told him. He told everybody exactly what those two little girls were going to do. Told them.
Mm-hmm.
They said, but that one right there, he's going to be the world's best tennis player in the world, like, of all time.
It's about Serena.
Serena.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, this is before they even knew who she was.
But why did he make those decisions between Venus and Serena? Was there a reason?
Because they had two different, because Serena, okay, Venus was more like a savant of tennis. Like she was that's the best student. I mean, she was
right.
graceful and played. And then she was teaching her little sister. The little sister, they was learning at the same time, but she was learning. But the thing about Serena was more like a bull thing. Like I'm going to take on everybody. So what happened was when they didn't have enough money or whatever, so they had to, they was like, we want to take Venus, right?
Right.
But the whole time, they were still
Bro
training Serena.
Mm-hmm.
And then Serena wanted it so bad, Serena figured out how to register herself into tournaments, and she was doing tournaments and they didn't know about.
The dad didn't know about?
They didn't know about. So they was at a tennis match, right? And then the people, the white people, whatever, start getting mad because, I mean, Venus is killing everybody. So they walked up to him and go, "You got two of them? You done told us you had two?" Like that, right? And then the father looked at him like, "What are you talking about?" "But your other one, she's down there kicking ass." He's like, "Who's kicking ass?" And then they said, "She's down there." They go walking down there, and the mother and father sitting there. She's down there kicking ass. So the father go, "Come here." And he's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, he said, "Go finish, and we'll talk about it later." So what she would do, she would go with Venus to the tournaments or go with them in tournaments, but she'd go, "Oh, Dad, I'm going to just be over here practicing." No, she didn't figure out how to register herself in a tournament, in a smaller tournament, and she down there kicking ass. So they didn't have to pay for Serena like they had to pay for Venus. Serena took it upon herself. So that's why she's where she's at. That's why she, but that was all part of the plan. He had told everybody that. He sat back and they was like, "Man, you're crazy." He had figured out a way to make them people move them from Compton, bought them a house, a car, gave him a job as a tennis coach.
But you know what, though? We had talked about this before. Isn't it interesting that those that people ridicule for being genius as being crazy, when in actuality, they're genius.
They're actually genius. And most geniuses are mad men. Oh, I know. I go through it every day.
Yeah. You wake up and look in the mirror every day, don't you, mad?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. But you know what, though? I'm really excited about seeing the movie now because I had no idea that he was that way. Like I said, I had something that's...
And as Jehovah's Witnesses.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can't be serious. Wow. We'll have to talk about that as well. And the reason why I'm saying is because I had studied with the Witnesses for a while, and that's I'm shocked again.
Yeah.
The screen's out. It's dark.
Oh, it's just me.
But anyway, interesting, really interesting. Listen, we come right back and talk about a little sports, and then we got to prepare ourselves for you calling in to talk about your business. We've got some commercials to talk about as well. But I needed to talk about a couple of things there. I really was angry when I came in here, but I'm glad I'm not angry anymore. But no, I'm still angry because this stuff with Facebook sends my little nerve. I'm telling you, man, my little nerve. And don't forget, like I said, last half an hour ago, excuse me a second. This is Carl, YizerRadio.com. Biz Chat Out Line. It's what's called. We're talking about your business. We're giving you 30 seconds to call in and talk about you and your business. Since the last 30 seconds or 30 minutes of the show, the phone number is 515-605-9800. That's from 11:30 to 12 noon. Come on in. Let's talk about your business a little bit. Tell us about yourself. And we're going to support your business. We just want you to support this station, Yazzer.com. So you're visiting the show Controversy, Stephen B. doing the Key of E. We are going to talk some sports because without a shadow of a doubt, we have to. And then we're going to, you know, obviously end up with some knowledge about, my catfish alert. I tell you, I would think people with these skills and young ladies with these beauties would use it for a better purpose, you know, really, because they get old, you know. But you know what, though? Without you guys, I don't get anything to talk about. So I guess just keep scheming and, you know, we'll see what we can find out and put it out there to let people know that what you're doing ain't about shit, okay? And, you know, get a job, do something, but stop stealing from people. Come on, you know you're wouldn't raise that way. Well, I don't know. Some of you may have. And for those of you who did and are raised that way, let me inform you of something. Watch yourself get older quicker than you think. That beauty's going to fade. That glow that you have is going to be lost. And you're going to get exposed. That's kind of embarrassing. Lord knows, please don't have no children because you inflicted wound upon them as well. So we'll be talking about that a little later on. But as soon as Bernstein gets back, he got me kind of lost here. But we'll keep moving. Don't forget, call YazzaRadio.com. Viz, a shout-out line. We're talking about your business, giving you 30 seconds to see what you say about what you're doing. Phone number is 515-605-9800. That's 515-605-9800. So I want you to check that out. Oh, check this out. For you that don't know anything about Butler University, and you should by now anyway, you went from a small liberal arts university to become an interesting powerhouse in the East and when it comes to basketball. And when I say under a magnificent transformation, because it's been kind of bad for the last couple of years, you know what I'm talking about when I say Butler. You know, that Mata, coach at Butler, Boston Celtics coach came from Butler as a young man. He's still there, Brad Stevens. It's just been an interesting journey for Butler. Now, the last couple of years hasn't been so very kind to the little school and the little train it could. But now something interesting has happened because they're going back to a formula that obviously worked for them and how it all began in the first place. That Mata's back with Butler, who started sort of that winning trend. Okay, when I say sort of, the coach before him really set it on fire. Barry Collier set it on fire, and they haven't turned back yet. They had a little low for a couple of years. That happens. But when I say coming back strong with a vengeance, they came back strong with a vengeance. One of the most winningest coaches in basketball they got from Ohio State, who once paid at Butler. That's that Mata. As a matter of fact, I can't remember, but Rick Collier was his coach or vice versa. At any rate, these guys have been around for a while. He goes to Ohio State, wins some outrageous figure like, I don't know, 730-something games to 129 or something. And they talked him into coming out of retirement and coming back to Butler. That was magnificent. Then he started hiring some pretty interesting personnel, the whole basketball program. We're talking about both male and female. They made magnificent moves. Okay, so now you got that Mata, the head basketball coach of the boys basketball team. Then what did he do? He brought in Greg Odom, superstar from Indiana, played in the that Mata. Had a little NBA career. I mean, Greg was tall, very, very basketball smart, but injuries cut his career short, so we never really understood the greatness behind this young man. But let me tell you something. Not only does he have magnificent basketball skills, but he's got a kind heart as well. So he joined the staff, one of the senior people in charge of basketball operations, a Butler. So I'm telling you, Butler's rock and roll. Then on top of that, what did they go and do? They went and got the head coach from IUPUI, women's basketball team, to become the coach of Butler. Wasn't they thinking about that? Trust me. Butler last year, Bernstein, you know what the record was? They won one basketball game. The whole season. Butler women's basketball. But IU, their coach, I'm surprised he up there and came to Butler because this woman is a winner and everybody knows it. So,
trying to become contenders again.
Now, before I have my final cigarette, my nicotine-stained hands, we have to talk about whatever gate that my partner Bernstein comes up with in sports. He got a gate for everything. I mean, we have football. What was your gate for that one? Oh, that was the slave market.
The slave market,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Some things, boy, I tell you the truth, just hurt, don't it? Truth.
Can we talk about, I got a sports story to talk about. All right.
Okay.
And it's the basketball is the pimp hoe game.
That's funny you just say that because I was going to ask you about that today too. Sneeko, let's hear this one.
All right. I've been watching, which is another great, I've been watching a lot of TV lately there, Stephen B. And I've been watching, this is what happens when you have no woman, no girlfriend, you watch TV.
Here we go.
That's a whole other stuff. You got to watch Culture Kings.
Yeah.
You got to watch Culture Kings to hear about that. But anyway, the show that I have on HBO about the L.A. Lakers and Dr. and Matt Brown.
Yeah.
Those two was slam buddies, as in they just would hang out at the Playboy Mansion and just have sex with a bunch of women, him and his boss. But the dynamic part is Jerry Buss was broke, had no money when he bought the Lakers and then revamped the Lakers in 79, 80, and 81.
Mm.
Cold busted broke. It was all smoke and mirrors, and he was able to develop the multi-billion-dollar company that it is now.
Let me tell you something. That's strange you should say that. Because you know what? You know, Dr. Jerry Buss owned... I got to laugh because it's funny. But he owned the Market Square Arena. Did you know that?
I knew. Now it makes sense because the coach from the Lakers came over to the Pacers. When they got rid of the coach, he ended up coming. He left the Lakers and came to the Pacers. That makes sense.
It's surprising, but that's very true. But let me tell you how cold blood he is. When Indiana first, now I'm not sure. Did they go to the NBA? Have they already went to the NBA?
I think they
have. Wait a minute. In order to save the Pacers, they had to have a telethon on TV. You know
shit, in order to save Yarzer, we need to have a telethon on TV. Let's go.
No, seriously. Did you
know that? I didn't know that, but
yeah, I
can see that happening.
Yeah. So that whole Pacers story is strange. And I tell you something else, as we talk about strange stories, just a little sideline to sports. Let me tell you, people don't realize that the Simons man don't own these malls.
Not no more.
They never did.
They just managing them all.
Here's what they did.
Okay.
Especially here in Indiana. They took options on properties. And you can get option on a property in Indiana for as low as a dollar.
What's an option on a property?
What you means talk that they give you 60 days in order to come up with a plan, the financing to develop that property. You follow me? The science,
the state does?
Period. This banking business, it's just the name of the game. Whoever owns a property, getting options on property is done all the time. It's a real estate move. If I want to buy your property, you have to give me time to find the financing and make the moves necessary. Property is not cheap, okay? But with that being said, you put a down payment on the property, and then you have the option to start development plans or go get other financing to develop. They go get options on land for as low as $5,000. Like, say, in fact, the cheapest one was Lafayette Square. So
really,
once they got the option on the property, then they sent salespeople back to sell the Lazaruses and the Hobby Nobbies and whatever you had in that mall, consent to buying space in that mall, and they needed X amount of dollars up front. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Thus, what happens is by the time they get the people in there, they got the money to purchase the land. You follow me?
Yeah.
So in exchange for that, the Simon Corporation, through their loan program to their Simon executive, which was Herb and Mel Simon at the time, that's how they made their money. But they never owned. Now, once they developed a group or sold the group plan to whoever they sold it to, the management company, they took a percentage of the management portion of that real estate. That's how they made their money.
Really?
Yeah. It messes up this crap.
And that's good, though. They created an industry and
And we got to get better at that, too, man. We really do. Got to take a pause. I got to have a cigarette, and then we're going to get into one last issue, and then we got to get the call-ins so you guys can promote your business. That's 515-605-9800 Shout out about your business. We want to hear about you so you can hear about us. This is Steve and me. Doing the only controversy on a Super Bad Monday. Boy, I tell you, this has been, you know, starting Monday like this is good. See you too.
brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we
and pick it back. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Controversy on a Monday. Listen, let me tell you as usual. It's not me that's disorganized about the lineup. No, I'm just reading it. I'm not going to mention no name, but the initials is Bernstein, okay? But anyway, we're going to get that together. I'm sorry, man. I don't want to hurt my Jewish, black, Muslim buddy here. I don't want to do that. He's international. But anyway, check this out. For you who know me and the things that I was blessed to be able to accomplish over the years, you know, one of my proudest of is creating Jazz in the Park and Blues in the Hood, which is historic at this point. You know, it went for 22 years. The concert series started out with four concerts. As a matter of fact, how it got started was interesting because it started through a connection with the city and the American Legion. And when we sit and talk about how this thing would come about, because it was with City Parks of Indianapolis that the involvement came. The interesting thing about it is that a high school friend of mine, who I studied music under, was the director of the Parkers, he and I getting together those many years ago. And what happened was that the American Legion state said, you know, we need to find a park and have a project to enhance our visibility in the community. So that's how Jazz in the Park started. It started with four concerts, and they got up to 14 concerts. And you know, became a phenomenal success. And we were averaging 3,000 people every Sunday during the summer. And no violence. Nobody had been arrested in those 22 years. It was a mixture of culture and ethnicity, for lack of better words, ethnic participation. It was great. And, you know, I got tired of it, so I decided I didn't want to do it anymore. And that was 5 years ago. To make a long story short, we've talked about it, so we're going to do it again. That's what we're working on now. That's due to start, really, it's going to start now, the middle of June and run all the way to September. Some of the older acts are going to be there. You know, it's a memory thing, and we got some fantastic new acts. And it's partly now going to be sponsored by yours truly, YazzaRadio.com. And stay tuned to that, because we're going to hopefully play some footage of some of the musicians and talk to some of them as well, because this will be the last hurrah. I can't do this anymore. I really can't. There's some things I really want to do, so I got to move forward. But at any rate, I want to give you forewarning. Just, you know, pass the word that Jazz in the Park is going to come back, being revisited for 1 year. And we're going to have a little gospel in there, too, as well. And keep the word Yazzer in your brain, because it's all being made possible, even getting me to do this crap. And I say it's crap because it's a lot of work, man. But to do it,
it is.
It's brought to you by Yazzer. So we're excited about it, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Now, oh, lineup. Did you get me straight in? Oh, we're still working on the lineup.
Well,
okay, you tell the lineup.
We're redoing the lineup, and so that's why none of the stuff is here. So we're not, the only lineup we're doing today is just that there.
You can't remember. Hello.
From 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
And my nicotine-stained fingers, yes.
Tuesdays and Thursdays moving forward with Dwayne Abernathy. Moving our people forward. Tuesday night, talk to Tana. All you comedians out there, people who want to be entertained and want to know what's going on in the comedy world, tune in to talk to Tana. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday night.
She funny?
Funny and fine.
Oh. We're going to leave that alone.
Funny and fine.
Sir.
And then now,
let's hear it for the fine.
Coach Kings. Oh, Peppy and Snap is coming back next Monday night.
Let's hear it for 7 the fine. I'm still back on the fine.
Oh, back on the fine.
Yeah.
She fine.
Okay.
Even her logo fine. Look at her logo.
She's sexy on her logo.
Damn.
Peppy and Snap's coming back next Monday, 7 p.m.
Did she
want to
get married, you think?
Nah, she ain't trying to get married.
Oh, wow.
Hey, nah, she been married. She had been there, done that.
Damn.
And Culture Kings. TV, theeyesoftv.com. Culture Kings is about to start having a live studio audience.
Really?
Yeah, this past week, Culture Kings had a dominatrix in the studio.
Who?
I think they call dominatrix the chicks with the whips and the tie you up.
Are you
submission,
serious?
Yes.
Boy.
Off the chain. That episode will be airing tomorrow and all week long on the SI channel.
Did you get spanked?
Nah, but I told her make me next time.
Oh, man.
She said she's going to put a gag ball in my mouth. She said, you talk a lot. I'm going to put a gag ball.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it was over. They was talking about swinging and, oh, my God. Talking about exhibition sex. He talked about everything Friday on Culture Kings. Culture Kings is
on I'm turning red up in here, man.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, really.
I found out. Well, Snap found out. He is a voyeur. I think that's what she said.
What?
You know what a voyeur is?
Yeah, I know what a voyeur is.
What's a voyeur? You sure?
It's somebody that likes watching.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. What are you talking about?
So,
like, I was thing, okay?
So, yeah. Snap what? Snap from Culture Kings found out he's a voyeur because he likes to watch. He's a watcher.
Wabader. See, there's so many secrets about people we don't know.
And we don't know. That's
so
why you got to tune in the Yizer.
So you know what? There's so many secrets that people don't know about us. That's why. Why is it so necessary for people to lie about us if they? There's enough secrets.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But okay, that's it, man. That's. I guess.
Uh-huh.
Sticks and stones and whatever they do with this stuff. What's with the leather thing? I mean, is that supposed to be like a biker or something?
What leather?
these dominatrix ladies?
Oh, I don't know. I should have asked her. But she says she has a, she even called it, they have a uniform. It's like their uniform. I forget what she called it, her get up, the whole get up. And then they
was she of color?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah. But she will only, she only makes white men her slaves.
Are you serious?
I don't know.
Boy, I tell you, some of the things that
we talked about, safe word. It said pineapple is too long of a safe word. You know, safe word, like to tell them to, when you had enough, stop tweaking my nipple or whatever. You got to have a safe word.
All I know is this. You sound like, son, that you're quite an authority of such now.
Oh, yeah, I'm an aficionado. Is that what they call it?
Is that what Boy, hey, you can only get it low like it here. Okay. Now I found out that everybody I know is a freak but me. No, serious. But no. Let's get back to some serious things. Check this out. I've got to talk about my normal.
My normal is the back of the old tricks again. Bringing into people's accounts. I don't know what they're going to do about it. But they need to do something. I think part of it needs to start naming people. You know, I did name a couple last time. Start naming people because it's getting pretty bad. It really is. It's $500 billion business a year? It's crazy. So, you know, first of all, let me tell you the quick rules. Don't send bank cards, period. Doesn't make a difference. Don't let them run down that bullshit about Google and none of that get bank cards. First of all, they're all processed by the company. Well, Visa basically owns most of it all now. It used to be Visa, MasterCard, but it's Visa. From the Play cards to the Google cards, the Vanilla gift cards, all that stuff is processed through Visa one way or another. Now, the new thing is, oh, send me a Google card because the person who's doing my hair won't take a, you know, anything but a Google card. Let me tell you why that is. Because Google is the only card you can actually get cash money from. The rest of them won't give you cash money. That's why they want the Google card. You getting me, Bernstein?
I got you.
Okay, that's the name of the game there. And trust me, some of these beautiful women, and first of all, I can tell you that some of them aren't beautiful and some of them are dudes. I'm telling you straight out. I know.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Say, you meet a woman, and she's telling you all the stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out that she hasn't always been a woman. Is that a definition of catfishing? Could that be part of catfish?
Well, it could add to the storyline because some people are freaks like that and like that kind of stuff, I guess. I mean, one doesn't have anything to do with another.
So the catfishing side is that somebody saying they're somebody and they faking it and they try and get money out of you. So that's what catfish side of it is, like, oh, I'm from Africa and I gotta get over here and stuff like that.
That's what I was going to tell you, man. This is no kidding. Here's the storyline. First of all, I can tell you just from research, because that's what I've become, a catfish hunter. I'm going to open up a catfish store. But anyway, let me tell you the deal. First of all, a lot of the communication that you're having with these beautiful women are not necessarily women. A lot of them are men. Okay, I'm telling you, and they got this crap down to a science. And you can always tell that you're not talking to the person who you're talking to through Facebook because challenge them to call you. Here's the excuses that they give you. This is what I'm telling you. All of them got the same excuse. Well, my cell phone is damaged, and I can only text from it. Bullshit. Okay? Or my internet's not functioning properly, so I can't talk to you on it. Bullshit, because how are you texting me on it? You can't talk. So that's a telltale sign. Here's the other one. The other one is always this. Even though my address on my profile says that I'm from Henderson, Uvember, or Henderson, Kentucky.
Henderson, Kentucky.
Here's what the deal is. When you nail them down to submitting to you, since they want you to, it's always the same. I need $50 gift card because I need to get some.
medicine that for my grandmother. I'm serious. Same story. Or we need some food. But anyway, make a long story short, and they have to have it on a gift card. Then when you talk to them about possibly making a journey down to Henderson, Kentucky, then they're telling you, oh, I'm in Africa because that's where I'm taking care of my grandmother. So then challenge them and said, okay, I'm going to send you what you need. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to send it to you Western Union MoneyGram. Oh, they won't accept it. Western Union MoneyGram accept money, period. That's what they're in the business of doing, is transferring money. Okay? So now they'll tell you these crazy stories. Well, put it on the Google card, blah, 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 blah. They're catfishing you. And I'm going to tell you something. This is no kidding. Out of all the 5,000 people that I know on, period, on this media, just this total media, and go to Yasser, okay? I'm telling you, go to our website, okay? But let me tell you something. Out of all the people that I know, and luckily I travel enough so I can hit certain places that didn't cost me anything. I've only met one.
One catfish?
One woman.
Oh, one woman.
Out of all the people that I know, I'm serious,
yeah,
that was honest and out of town. Crazy and shit, okay?
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is they existed, okay?
Right.
So when people can't give you those proofs, especially people in the military, oh, God, love those guys. Those catfish in the military, they, well, I haven't had fish in a while, and I'm over here in Tanzania, bumfuck Egypt, somewhere. Okay. And they sit there and tell you this, and I'm sitting there thinking, it's bullshit. The military fish, you'll have, one way or another. Fresh fruit, you'll have. But you're going to tell somebody that you can't get it, so you need a gift card. There's a thing again, gift card. Stop it. These people are making fools out of you. Okay? Trust me. All right? Especially when they tell you the only way they can accept money is through a card. Because there's a system in the military called APO. That's how we send stuff to one another. Trust me. Send it that way, they'll get the money. Or whatever you send them. Don't send a gift card. It's a scam.
I got a media story to ask, talk about real quick.
Okay.
That's the reason that's helpful, Yasser. So, you know, CNN News came out with a streaming service called, I think it's called CNN Plus.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to explain that to me. What's the difference between screening or what do you call it?
Streaming.
Streaming and regular whatever.
Okay. Regular television, airwaves, you have satellite television, cable TV, and antenna TV. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Streaming is like we are straight over the internet. So we're not on the FCC line, we're not on the satellite, we're not on the cable TV network.
So what's YouTube? Is that
streaming?
Okay, gotcha. All right, now
Netflix streaming.
People understand it, get a lesson.
Yeah, so what happens is, of course, the people in here that's over 50, you understand, you guys remember antenna television? Right? And then when cable TV came.
You're being really funny.
What? I'm over 50.
You're being really funny.
Yeah, so.
I remember standing up on the roof holding it.
So you remember, right, with the antenna, I got the rabbit ears with the foil, right?
Yeah, okay.
But then, you know, then you remember cable TV, the first time you used to have that white box, you slide back and forth the channels.
Right.
That was the new network. That was the new technology for television. And now streaming is. Well, CNN was trying to get into the streaming market, so that's why they created CNN Plus.
Right.
And the model of that is just like how Yasser is a paid subscription. So CNN has been around for 30, 40 years. Maybe people want to pay for CNN.
Oh, gotcha.
Not going to happen. So they invest like $300 million. They launched April 1st. And then announced yesterday they're going out of business.
Who?
CNN Plus.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Why?
ain't nobody subscribing.
Oh.
They spent $300 million. To say, for instance, they get like 10,000 views a day.
That's nothing.
Especially after you spend $300 million, but they didn't understand this new media.
Well, and you know, you and I have had disagreements of this new technology media, only from a creative standpoint of view. But I think in itself, that's what makes this so revolutionary, I should say. Because now you've got people who have always wanted to be able to do, just didn't have the technology or the knowledge to do. And those that have the knowledge to do it now are beginning to say, you know what, if we put certain things together, we can create a CNN or ABC or anything else, which I think that whole attitude is unique. Do you find this new attitude of having cable networks and radio stations, like my friend TC has a Jamaican thing he's streaming, do you think that that is going to take over the social media atmosphere and how we watch TV and listen to radio? Do you think it's going to change it that much?
It already has. That's why CNN Plus went out of business and after spending $300 million because you don't need them no more. You have the YouTubers out there. You have people out there. You have people like your friend at the, sure, the Jamaican thing. It has already taken hold. Like, I'm going to give you a perfect example. Like my daughter. My daughter doesn't even watch cable TV or regular TV. She only watches YouTube and streaming networks, Netflix. So it's already done it.
Huh. Now let me ask you probably a stranger question. Do you think that this new form of media, the internet media, is going to make people of color start paying closer attention to not only the community, but the news in which they have in their community, if that's what we're doing?
That's the reason why we got Yizer. Yizer is going to be that voice for our culture where we're not going to talk. I'm going to give you a perfect example. We don't talk about mainstream here at Yizer. You see what I'm saying? If we're going to tell a story, we'd rather tell a story about Stephen B., because we know Stephen B. and Stephen B.'s in the community versus talking about a Jay-Z or Beyonce, people that we don't know.
Right.
And the people and our listeners don't know. Our viewers don't know.
They might know them. They don't have access.
They don't have access to them.
Right.
So that's the news of Yizer. We have left mainstream and we are the stream. You see what I'm saying?
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, so by doing it that way, we have the opportunity to know about the next upcoming prosecutor from our culture or the new of chiropractor's office from our culture, because you're not going to hear it on the big mainstream and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So that's what's important about this platform here, that it's going to be the conversation and a reflection of us as who we are really as a country.
And I think it's interesting that the concept that, as I see it, is more or less maintain a national flavor, yet the core of everything that we're doing is more localized. And I think the interesting part about it is it's almost like every one of these stations, it's almost like sitting down with your friend and chatting at a local nightclub, or one end sitting at the church one guy and sitting next to your friend the pew having a conversation. I mean, it's becoming a platform of inclusiveness unlike anything else I've seen.
Yep.
And I think that people need to realize and really pay close attention to Yizer.com, Yizer TV, the whole network. Just taste the flavor of it, and I guarantee you that what will happen is your whole concept of listening, your whole concept of understanding will be greatly enhanced. We have to, one of the things I've learned is I read the Star News. I read Wall Street Journal. Okay, I read all kinds of magazines about national news with sometimes local flavor. But the bottom line is I've gotten to the point where I realize I've got to read outside that scope, outside that scope, because now the true nature of the whole business concept and the whole nature of the world is the small businessman's and as well as the small businessman's life. That's how we build a nation. So that's how I see y'all.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, hey, so what? We're there. Okay, listen. You want to shout out to about your business? Call us here at 515-605-9800. You can talk about your business and tell us a little bit about you. Put it out there for you. Something, a service is going to help you as well as us as well, because this is what it's all about, is getting the word out. So that number is, and that's for the shout-out line, buzz the shout-out line, talk about business, talk about yourself. That's 515-605-9800. That's 515-605-9800. And that's every Monday through Thursday from 11:30 to 12 noon. Why don't you talk about yourself if you got something to talk about? And for those of you who don't have anything to talk about, find you some business. That's how we build what we're doing, is find you some business. We spend too much idle time talking about it without being about it. And that's why it's so important that you tap into our network, because we're about being about it. Hell, we ride around. Listen, we're the kind of people to ride around in our car, shouldn't be talking on the cell phone, pull on the side of the road because something's hit our mind. Yo, man, dude, I just did this. I just ran into something. That's how you network. That's how you get your point across. And we got to be better of that, man. We just, I don't know. Sometimes you have to wonder when you read about the stories about black people and the history that we have. Sometimes you got to ask yourself a question. How in the hell did we get from this brilliant, ultra-creative culture to a culture of destruction and mayhem and confusion?
Self-hatred. We've been taught to hate ourselves. Just like Brother Malcolm said, who taught you to hate yourself?
You're right. But you know my attitude about that is about hating self. Here's another problem. We go to the extent of loving ourselves too much that we forget to love the one who's good. So maybe that is a form of hatred. I just think it's a form of confusion. But it fascinates me how I hear from people who say to me, man, that girl confused. Dude, that girl over there confused. She ain't got no time for that confused. I mean, and I'm sitting there thinking, brother, you confused.
Right, you
because
confused.
You're supposed to be in charge of this. You let this get out of hand, okay? We have nobody to blame but ourselves. And here and now, I'm going to say this on the air. I apologize, humbly apologize, and ask a matter of understanding. I don't want to say forgiveness because that's such a broad word, but understanding that I, beginning today, should make a conscious effort to not only honor my sister, but love her unconditionally, because without you, there would not be any me. We can talk all this bad stuff we want to, but truth of the matter is we owe you an apology. And I personally, on behalf of those brothers that I know, some that can't apologize for themselves in this matter, ladies, humbly apologize, and I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. Whether it's my sons and daughters or someone else's, I'm going to do better. With that being said,
what?
Whole studio silent. Did I say something wrong?
No, you're saying something profound, yeah. So they need to hear, so there's no misunderstanding.
Yeah, that's
what you're saying. But on that whole thing of self-hatred or whatever, another thing that's important of the reason of our media here at Yizer is we're going to tell the stories that they never tell. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have a counter. So my whole thing is you turn on the news, and all you do hear about is this person got shot eight people got shot, nine people got shot. And so I was telling somebody the other day, there's like, that Yizer, there's no need for us to talk about that, because you want to hear that, go to BET, go to ABC, go to NBC, go to CBS. If you want to hear the solution to the killings, then you listen to Yizer. Because we're going to talk about this. We're going to tell you the solutions and teach the solutions. And one of the main solutions to that is some type of economic system, economic structure. You know?
Yeah, we used that during things just in black churches alone, especially locally.
Okay.
They put some outrageous figure in the bank every Sunday with like $12 million.
What? That much money?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm talking about
the wrong business.
But no, seriously, I mean, the churches here, and I might be a little high, but don't think I am. In fact, I'm almost sure I'm not. But that's something we should check. In fact, see if that'll give you that on Google right quick. But it's a lot of money every Sunday. But we don't own no banks. We don't own no stores. We don't own any significant real estate in our own community, never list the city of Indianapolis. And that's because...
Well, they own some, because I know, like, Cripple Dollar Church down in... They own half of College Park, Georgia.
I'm talking about Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. So why not then? What they doing with the money?
That's a good question. Okay. Now, there are some misses here in all fairness.
What am I looking for?
How much money the black community put in black churches in Indianapolis, Indiana on a Sunday? That's a lot, huh?
That's a whole lot.
Yeah.
Let me just put black churches income.
Well, okay. I will do it that way. In Indianapolis. Just in Indianapolis now. And see, and the other interesting thing about it is that, especially now since they've changed the law, please don't get offended by what I'm saying. I'm just pointing out some facts. The liquor stores now open on Sunday. Now, already in Indianapolis, Indiana, my city, where you find the church, you find a liquor store across the street. I'm serious. Which is, the only thing I can say is okay. But, yes, that's very true. But now what is happening is since the liquor stores are opening at 12 noon on Sunday, right about the time when most churches get out, the income for the liquor stores has increased unbelievably. Not necessarily because it's just liquor sales on Sunday, but when you got a liquor sale close to the church, and come on, let's be realistic, ain't no sense of lying. You know, during Goodwill, everybody want to have a nip, okay? Not everybody, but a large amount. Of people who are, quote, religious, like to have a nip for municipal purposes.
And the average, I got something for you.
Okay, here's out.
On the average, the black churches raise an estimated $11.5 billion annually, which is collected from the community. So that means the black churches are taking $11 billion from the black community every year. So, like you said, there's no, and we're not beating up on the churches
because
they all do it.
12 million a week.
Mosques do it. Catholic Church do it.
Right.
So we're not beating up on the black churches, but we're giving the facts, though. So amongst all the black communities across the country, $11 billion. And there's no reason at all we should have the issues that we have in our communities.
And see, a lot of people don't realize this, but several attempts have been made. We used to have a store here called Our Market, which was a cooperative that they bought food to sell to the community. We used to have a bank here that eventually became the People's Bank, started at Midwest as Midwest Bank, that it was black-owned operated. But here's what happened. Please understand this. Understand how life works. If I make $5 in my business, and you take a dollar from me, it's acceptable in the business world, period. It just is. It's the nature of doing business. But if I make $3 and you only turn in $1, we got a problem. And that's generally what happens to black businesses that are run cooperatively. Somebody's fingers get quite sticky. That's what happens. Now,
yeah.
It's not that it just happens in the black community. No, don't misunderstand. But it's more detrimental to happen in the black community. But in the white community, they have numbers. They put a couple banks on a couple deals. It's one thing. But we only had one.
So check this out. So when so you people out there who's in your feelings, I think we're beating up on the black church. Right here, it says right here, list up the wealthiest religious organizations. Guess what's number one? See if you can guess. Wrong. The Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints.
Yeah! Oh, that's serious, yeah.
And guess how much?
Oh, no.
Guess how much they were.
How much?
$100 billion.
Yeah.
Then you have the Holy See. The Vatican is second with $30 million.
But see, check this out. Here's the issue.
But see, but hold on. But not to cut you off, but technically, Catholics is bigger than that because they're broken down in all these different segments of right of Catholics, and they all averaging $23 billion apiece. So, all right, go ahead. Sorry, you said Utah.
But Utah is unique in the fact that they own the whole state of Utah.
Facts.
Definitely Salt Lake.
Facts.
True. Don't nothing breed in Utah. Unless, in fact, I remember the year that the Jazz won the championship. Because of the Golden Guy. Oh, he didn't go to the guy.
I get it.
Also, this is the same society, Bernstein, that up until recent years, probably within the next 20 years maybe, that they would allow black folks to have leadership roles, especially in the Boy Scouts. To the Church of Latter-day Saints. You knew about that, didn't you?
No, I knew. Well, I kind of figured that with the Mormons. The mm-hmm. Mormons ain't.
Yeah.
You know, but I got a question. That's what I meant.
But they changed.
They changed. Is it an honor to be the so-called first black of anything? Because, like, even like with your girls, the new judge, I'm the first black woman after blah, 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 blah. Is there really a honor in being the first black event? Some first blacks or something has destroyed industries for black people like baseball.
That's a very difficult question to answer. There you are. It's an honor only from the standpoint of personalism, okay? People say the honor is mine. Well, that's very true because, you know, you like to think you're honored because other people honor you, but that's not how it works. The other issue is this. Is honoring this person beneficial overall, or them honoring themselves beneficial overall to society? With that being said, saying you're the first is a good message, especially when it comes to little girls. Not being a male chauvinist, but they had a harder time breaking that ceiling than even black males, okay? I mean,
okay.
They're at the bottom hell. In fact, I think Mexican even got them, okay? Really, I'm just being real.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's important and necessary because it allows other young black girls to say, hey, I can. If you can do it, I can do it. So that's a difficult question to answer, you know?
Okay.
Hell, I'm just honored being here. This was still looking for statistics.
Yeah, I'm looking for different things. Eli Lilly, this is old. No, January 17th this year, Eli Lilly's endowment grants to preserve black churches and gives $20 million.
That is surprising. Let me tell you something about Lilly's. My brother, at one time, was president of the Lilly Foundation. And the Lilly Foundation, at the time he was president, did the renovation on the Walker Building down on the Avenue. The whole campus apartments thing that was all done by Boss, which came from the Lilly Foundation. Or I shouldn't say it was established. My brother created Boss, so to speak, from the Lilly Foundation, became a director. Make a long story short, Lilly's is, you know, contribution to the black community has been massive. Really has been massive. And they don't get the recognition that they should get. But believe you me, Lilly's put a lot of money in the black community nationwide.
So this is saying that one of the reasons why the black churches don't get involved really, because since they're a 501(c), they don't want to, they claim that they can't get involved because they pretty much lose their funding.
Guess what?
Because they're not funding.
That's a crock of shit, especially even now. The laws have been changed.
Okay.
Churches can actually now get involved even in lobbying. Okay.
They've been doing it undercover anyway.
Sure, but they actually can do it out in the open. But those are excuses. Those are excuses.
Like they say, why rock the boat?
Why not rock the boat? In fact,
because the things, oh, okay, give me an example.
I'll tell you something. We need to sink the boat, just like the Titanic. That's what we need to do.
So I got a question. If this happened to a black church, you think they will still be open? You heard, I think it was like about 6 months ago when you heard about the plumber and family found like $400,000 in a man at Joel's church.
Okay. It's true?
Yeah, it's true. I'm going to find it for you.
Please. Because you know I like Joel.
So I'm going to ask
you. Joel has $400,000.
I think it's $400,000 in the wall.
Please don't tell me this is sold.
So if it happened to a black church, would they still with that church? I almost said, well, they still fuck with that church. I didn't mean to say it like that, but
I'm still shocked.
This happened December 8th.
Okay, yeah, read this.
Oh, okay. Okay. Plumber who discovers money in wall at Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church gets $20,000 reward. So he found $600,000.
What?
And they gave him
Keep reading. Is there more in that? Hey, you know what? Oh, how much time we got? 13 minutes? We don't got a lot of time.
Okay. A plumber who discovered a stack of cash and checks inside of a wall at celebrity televangelist Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church last month has been awarded $20,000 by Crime Stoppers. The envelopes was discovered behind a loose toilet by the plumber, which he was doing repairs at the Houston church on November 10th. 7 years after the church reported $600,000 in cash was stolen.
Oh, no.
Right.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so come on. So now do you think if it was a black church and they found out they pretty much laundered $600,000 after the giveaway fund, you know what that means, giveaway fund, will people still support the church? Or would they be shut down?
Here's what I'm God bless
America.
Really?
Land that I love.
Moses. I mean, you know, and I'm serious. I'm in mortal shock here. Really, I am. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm honest about those people I listen to. That's why I'm very honest about enjoying the listening to Rush Limbaugh all those years. Because it wasn't so much that what they said made sense. It's just a matter of good conversation and stimulated thinking. And Joel, from a spiritual standpoint of view, I've admired for some time his enthusiasm, his outlook on religious our religion as it relates to on earth versus this mystical heaven thing. But I'm really shocked. I really, really am shocked.
Wow. Hey, Ms. D, is there no federal investigation? It's just, $600,000, okay.
Well, but you know, at this point in time, based on the evidence that you just presented, there's not a heck of a lot they can do because it's really an insurance claim. They filed that this money was stolen or lost, so it's an insurance claim now. That's going to depend on the insurance investigators, and that's another point. That's the lucky thing, okay, because had it been filed, not an insurance claim, it was a straight-out theft, and insurance wasn't involved,
right?
Then whoever's responsible would be doing big time in jail.
No taxes paid on it?
Yeah. Well, see, that becomes a different law. That becomes a federal law, back to the federal side. But as far as criminality and time, had it been done that way, somebody did.
But it's just the fact of $600,000. So you don't tell me you don't got to know that we've got $600,000 stuffed in the walls at Yizer right now? You know how many walls we tore out?
But see, they didn't know. They said the money was stolen. They didn't recover it. It was hidden in the wall. Nobody thought to look at
it. We got to get the hell up out of here, fun.
I guess.
Right.
Yeah, $600,000. No kidding.
$600,000 in the wall.
Man, do you know what I could do with that kind of money?
I know what I would do with that type of money.
I know you would. Listen, I wouldn't have a problem getting underneath
it. Nah, I'm gonna definitely practice my my Islamic right to have 12 wives, 7 wives.
Wait a minute. I'm serious.
I'm gonna have enough money.
Well, do we have enough time? Oh, we got 2 minutes. Yeah. I'm serious. Let me ask you a question. And being serious, because I don't know. Is it true that from the Islamic religion, they can have more than one wife?
Yes.
Now,
in the Mormon religion.
Well, the Mormons, they kind of sidestep. Well, no, they didn't sidestep that. They just sidestep the juvenile stuff. Okay, now, but because of honoring the law of the land, which the United States is,
yeah,
that is not practiced in the United States whatsoever. Am I correct? Or is it being practiced and done a little differently?
It's
within legal bounds.
It's practiced within legal bounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because pretty much to stay in the legal bounds, you can legally have one legal wife. But in the eyes of religion, you can marry as many of your own wives because it's not registered at the state. You don't get the city or the state involved. So
right.
You have these wives, but it's sanctioned by the community.
Sure.
But you got to be able to afford those wives, take care of those wives. The wives have to be agreed. I've met several men from the religion that has multiple wives. Really.
You know what, though? Here's my problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a difficult time dealing with one woman.
Oh, me too.
Because of their thought processes. I can't, and I'm not slamming women. Men and women think differently.
Jeez.
But I would really go crazy having to deal with 4 different women and different children.
I wouldn't want to. I would not. I honestly would tell you, I was joking about having my 7 wives. I couldn't do it. I can barely deal with a wife, a daughter, a mother, and a sister, let alone a bunch of. Could you imagine 7 wives or 3 wives, and they all needy and want something?
But you know what, though? You got a messed up situation, man. You really do. Wife? No. Mother?
Yeah.
Daughter who happens to be a woman?
Yeah.
Mother and sister to deal with. So you're the only man in the island of women.
Yes, I am.
You know what that translates into?
No sleep.
Mortal insanity.
It is. What? It's man.
I don't know, but that's cool.
I tell people all the time, especially a woman that's dating me, I say, you can be mad at me how you want because I can show you 3 other ones that's mad at me right now, too. I keep a female mad at me on a daily basis. Like, that's my life.
No, 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 but you know the truth that you got on the joking side is that because she had all these elements of the loving care of women, multiple women in her life, and a strong father. And I think, that truly is about a village raising a child.
Okay. I appreciate that, Stephen B. That's true.
That's wonderful. Yep. We got to get out of here. It's about
gotta
time
go.
To run. Hey, it's been fun. We'll get with you again Wednesday. We're going to have a special guest Wednesday. Reverend Pat's definitely going to come. Interesting lady. We're going to talk about women in the pulpit and their role in society in reference to religion. But stay tuned on Wednesday. We'll be back doing our thing, talking a little more, and contact us. Get involved, okay? We really need your help. We want you to be strong. So I figure we can help you get strong by getting your message out. Goodbye. See you Wednesday. This is Stephen B.